Well, joining us once again for regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning.
How are you?
Just getting over the horrible winds we had yesterday down in Monaco. It makes everybody feel pleased in Yorkshire. Okay, your weather's not too good at night either. So
no, it's beautiful, actually. It's been... been
it really?
Oh, it has. Yeah, it's sunny all
week.
Oh,
they are. The sun shines on the righteous.
Exactly. As ever, plenty to discuss. Let's start with Leeds United and Massimo Cellino. And now he's been in the papers this week on the Yorkshire Evening Post and has been speaking to them and has given his backing to Uwe Rosler. He said, the coach I was looking for, and he vows to keep his promise of time in the job. It's always a worry when a chairman and owner gives backing to the manager. It's the dreaded vote of confidence, isn't it, KB?
Well, like Tommy Docherty years ago, when he was chairman of Aston Villa, manager of Aston Villa, and that deadly Doug Ellis, I knew quite well, he said to me, I'm behind our manager all the way. Docherty said, I'd rather he's in front of me so I can keep my eye on him. Created quite a stir at the time. But Doc was a man unto himself. Tell a bit of a story about Docherty. I was a bit late going on a TV chat show with him. His favourite phrase was, don't talk to me when I'm interrupting. Don't talk when I'm interrupting. I always remember that. That was one of his great sidelines. Anyway, we have Massimo giving support to his manager, coach, whatever you want to call him these days, which is encouraging, except that he hasn't got a good record. Has he? Out of the League Cup in the first round, won 2 games out of 9. I can't quite understand what was wrong with Edford. I thought he did a good job under impossible circumstances. And not the great squad that the current coaches got. But there you are, we'll have to wait and see. Meanwhile, the fans have to be supportive. I'm not as... I think Massimo's chairman has said that it's OK if we're 10th to 15th this year and next year do a bit better and maybe go for the Premiership the year after that. That's long-term thinking. Must be dismal of Mr. Cooper to read that and clear the things I was saying. But anyway, let's see. In the meanwhile, unfortunately, the goals that we gave away at... Middlesbrough were terrible, weren't they? One was a brilliant header into her own net. Then the centre-back slipped. There's no backup for him. So that wasn't very good. On the other hand, we had a couple of good shots, which their keeper did well. So let's see.
Have you, in your experience and in your history in football, KB, have you ever given backing to a manager and then sort of almost immediately regretted it? Is that sort of thing that happens to chairmen? Or is it something that the journalists, you know, are constantly wanting, you know, something to sort of like maybe catch a chairman out that they think maybe at the point of sacking or getting rid of a manager?
Well, first of all, all the media looking for his stories. And unfortunately, as they used to say, good news is no news. Still looking for problems, some of which I've stirred up and kept going for the media. I mean, look how they've been slaughtering Wenger. But unfortunately for them, Wenger has a very good non-interference ownership stroke board. Just the board never get on with it. And they do well. Wenger does well without slagging off other managers like Mourinho. I mean, that was the thing about him in the first days. We thought he was the first blind manager in the Premiership because he never saw anything bad about his team. But that's another matter. But in my person, I never came out and publicly supported managers because they didn't need to. I mean, they spoke for themselves. And with Hoddle Hullett Viali and Ranieri, they did well. They had bad patches, we let them work them through it. That's what you have to do. You need continuity and support. And that's what a club needs. Hopefully now, that's what Massimo is going to give to this guy whose name I can never pronounce anywhere. But the important thing is, if you have anything bad to say, you say it in private, behind closed doors. You don't say it to the media. Because that's how you maintain support. And the worst thing Warren ever did, if you remember, we lost to Hull, and Tom Lees had come off and concussed and came back on again, and he made a slip, apparently, on Warnock, in true Mourinho style, in disgraceful Mourinho style, immediately blamed Lees for crossing the points. And I actually rang, I think I mentioned it before, but I rang Tom on the team coach, trying to forget what Warnock said, get on with it. But I've always felt that destroyed his self-confidence. We're never the same player again for Leeds. And that's why I went, I think, on a free to the Sheffield club. And I think we had an outstanding future captain, leader and centre-back. Lost to the club because of Warnock's ill-advised outburst.
Talking of folks of confidence, KB, someone who probably hasn't got one from anybody apart from himself is Sepp Blatter, and he's come out this week and said he's not going to stand down as FIFA president, even though he's got criminal proceedings that have been opened against him by Swiss investigators. It's the story that keeps on giving, KB.
Well, who knows, you might be the first FIFA president that serves out his term in jail. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? You know, the FIFA board, go and see him on visiting days, and hold their weekly board meetings, and so on. It just got ridiculous, this is. I mean, FIFA now has no credibility. It's a jointly and severally a laughing stock, and I think the whole organisation treated between jokes and contempt. I mean, Jack Warner has now been banned, should do. I mean, I had inside knowledge on Warner, because when I lived in the West, worked in the West Indies, had an Indian lady in my PA and came from Trinidad. And I was talking to her about 3 or 4 years ago now on the phone, because we'll keep in touch. And I mentioned about Warner. And she said, well, he's so popular here because he goes to a district school or a rural school, and then next week they've got a new pitch and football pitch and do-da-da-da-da. Well, of course he was I think, obviously using his money to help his popularity in Trinidad. And that's why it becomes, because Yvonne was saying that, he's popular in Trinidad because he really does help disadvantaged people. The problem, of course, was with the source of the money that he used to help them. But he's now obviously been found out one or two fiddle-diddles, and so he's gone. Meanwhile, of course, we don't know how much more dirt Chuck Blazer is. He did a deal with the FBI to return what we call Queen's evidence. So he's working now for the FBI against his former colleagues. I must say, I met the man in London in conjunction with the English 1996 World Cup bid. Wasn't impressed then, but obviously he held a lot of sway in the Africa, in the Americas, and the fact that he's now been taping conversations 2 years, I suspect the FBI have got a lot more than they're releasing at the moment, keeping it in reserve, and I don't see how I fear for the FIFA Congress or FIFA organisation. I think they do everything they get. There's a lot more to come out yet. We've now got, originally by the Americans, FBI charging, arresting, or trying to get out so many people from Switzerland to America. But we now have the Swiss authorities themselves getting stuck in. And, of course, they need to protect their reputation for being absolutely white and white. And even I think in the past they've been too indulgent. Now they realise the result of that. And, of course, now they're having to overreact, try and get things sorted out. But Blatter, I mean, I met Blatter in... when was it? When did Chelsea win the... In 1998, when Chelsea won the European Super Cup, and I had him on my table at the lunch, pre-match lunch, and squirmy already, little smiley type, and didn't like him then. And he just oozes insincerity and distrust, and I hope he goes to jail. I hope they do finally pin something on him and put him behind bars. Great loss, of course, to Barry Yorkshire, because he could have been a really good reporter for us in Switzerland, but there you are. Had to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves down and keep going. Hopefully, without... I think FIFA should just collapse, just wither away, go bang. We should all start again, because there's no credibility. Quicker to put it into liquidation, administration, and start again, rather than staggering on with this terrible, terrible, totally discredited organisation. Hope that's a reasonably balanced statement.
I think it's very balanced, perfectly honest, KB. Let's move on to politics. It's been the Labour Party conference in Brighton this week. Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah, let's have a laugh.
Jeremy Corbyn with his keynote speech. From all reports that I've been reading, it went down a storm with the party. Not a surprise, but elsewhere, people calling into question, exactly what he's been saying.
Well, of course, it went down a storm with The Guardian, which is the media branch of the BBC. In fact, I think the BBC should take over The Guardian. They could save overheads and reduce their staffing levels because they all sing off the same hymn sheet. Famous story, actually, but apparently a guy joined... This is just, not fact. It's just reported facts. Apparently a new guy joined the BBC News Department and he said, well, what's our line on things? He said, read The Guardian and take it from there. And The Guardian used to support the Liberals. And, of course, there wasn't a Liberal party. It went tits up. And then it was emerged with a new firm called the Social Democrats. That's where we got the Liberal Democrats. I'm old enough to remember that. And now, of course, the Liberal Democrats have gone the same way as the old Liberals. So The Guardian's got a problem still. They can do now is support the Labour Party. Even more vociferous than the Daily Mirror, the Daily Star, or the out-and-out socialist paper, whose name I can't remember. But I've listened. I want to get my head... I couldn't understand this Corbyn thing. I want to get my head around it. So I've watched assiduously the Labour Party conference, Corbyn's election, Corbyn's speeches, Corbyn shaking people's hands, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But here you get a party, not in disarray, just a total mess. You've got a number of the former Labour shadow cabinet refusing to work with him. He appointed an agricultural minister who he'd never met. Heard of democracy, that's ridiculous. And when he talks, he did better than that miniband, because he did at least have an auto cue, even though he did read out by mistake. When you have an auto cue speech, the speech writer emphasizes, said this very strong message, so by mistake he read that out. So, amused you. having listened to all the things he said, he said nothing. He spoke a lot, used a lot of words, but he said nothing. And I remember that famous line in South Pacific when the French planter says to the American colonel, "I know what you're against. Tell me what you're for." Well, that's a very important thing. Well, okay, we don't like that. What would you do? And it's maybe, well, I don't know, much better way than this. Well, okay, what is it? Well, I don't know. And Corbyn talks such rubbish. So do his acolytes. It's very simple. They put in a deficit means when you owe money that you haven't repaid. It also means you're spending more than you haven't earned. No ordinary people in the street know what that means. No, you get your credit card cancelled, no? And if necessary, you get judgments against you. Well, if we have to, if we ordinary people have to, within our means, so does a country. And when Corbyn says things like, nobody should suffer from benefits, well, why not say, well, why are they in that position? Why can't they get off their backside and get a job? It may not be the job they wanted or would like to have. But meanwhile, why should we, the ordinary people who work and pay their taxes, subsidise them? There's that lovely single lady with 9 kids from different fathers a couple of months ago who said, well, I'd like to have a 10th kid. It's my human right. What are human rights? But she couldn't tell her what it means, but she's read it in the newspaper. She says, okay, my human rights. How about human responsibilities? I'm sure most of the people listening or watching this online in due course fed children and brought them up and fed them and educated them and clothed them out of the money they earn. I had 5 kids. I started with nothing. All my kids went to school. I had good education. But I paid for it myself. Didn't expect somebody else to do it. This fellow Corbyn, he said, well, you know, I wouldn't not keep on trying. This is why Prime Minister, I'd never press the button. They get a silly argument about there's 190 countries around the world, only 8 have got nuclear power. If 180 odd don't need it, why should the 8 want it? Most peculiar. What he should have said is that why is it that the ones that have got it, which is Israel, Russia, India, Pakistan and China, they've got the atomic bomb, or the nukes, or whatever you want to call it. Why are we giving them aid? Yes, you heard that. You did hear that, right? Why are we, Little Britain, not Great Britain, Little Britain, giving millions of money in aid to those countries? The same country. India's got more billionaires than England. Why are we giving them aid? China's about to build England's next nuclear power station. Why are we giving them aid? Russia, having smashed up Ukraine and grabbed Crimea, and now started bombing in Syria, why are we giving them aid? I'll tell you this much, there's a few civil servants being taken out and shooting. But now you've got a potential leader of the party, or he's leader of the party, potential prime minister, talking absolute bloody rubbish. And they say, oh, we're going to tax the rich and tax. Well, suppose the rich, suppose the people who are paying 40% tax money to them and say, And he said, I'm going to tax on 60%. Suppose they said, well, bugger it. I'm not going to work anymore. I've got enough money. I'm not going to work anymore. I'm not going to create jobs. I'm going to sit on my bum. The money I've got, I'm going to enjoy it for the rest of my life. Why should they? Then where did Mr. Corbyn think his money's coming from? What he should do, he said, the day I get in power, I'm going to sack 10% of the civil service. Because they're not very competent. But then, you know, say just a bloody joke. The problem is, have a look at the alternative, Mr. Cameron. I think he's just about the worst Tory Prime Minister. I mean, I'm 84 in December, so I've seen a few Prime Ministers, Labour and Tory. And Cameron, remember that great thing he said in 2010? I'm like a bonfire of the quangos with Cameron. Tell you how much impression he made him. I forgot his name for a moment. Cameron gave him AV, alternative voting, which he lost, and he refused to do the Boundary Commission. Oh, that's a point on that. Corbyn called gerrymandering the electorate. Not gerrymandering at all. The Boundary Commission is an independent organisation which reassesses the boundaries of people who vote to make sure it reflects the movement of the population around the country. Because at the moment you've got about 90,000 votes, people, to elect a Labour MP, 130,000 to elect a Tory MP. So at the moment, the country is unfairly represented. But I'm drifting a bit. I do apologise. I'm on my hobby horse. The fact of the matter is, there are people who are not working. He did actually start using the word ordinary people, which is, I agree with Corbyn. There are loads of ordinary people who started with nothing and worked hard and built themselves up. In the process, they've paid taxes and created work for other people who weren't good enough to start their own business. That's great. We should be applauding those people. Instead of banging about inherited wealth, well, hang on, how do they inherit it? They inherited, by and large, from their ancestors, forebears, who also worked hard to create it. So we all, in America, they applaud success. In England, we've always denigrated it. If you become a failure, if you fail in one business in England, oh, you're stigmatised for life. In America, pick yourself up, dust yourself and start all over again. That's why America's the richest country in the world. We don't have a deficit. So I think Mr. Corbyn has been very interesting. He could probably have a great job as a slapstick comedian, stand-up comedian. But politician, never done a day's work in his life. Just check on that. Has he ever dug trenches in a sodden, rainy January? I have. He ever stood in a quarry with a shovel, pushing sand and gravel down a grid to feed it, to wash sand and gravel away? I have. Has he ever helped to build a ready-mix concrete plant by getting his guys together in hands and lifting up a wheel for the top of a conveyor belt? I have. Has he ever driven a lorry? I have. Not very well, but I did drive it. Had he ever created any wealth? Had he done anything? I thought the funniest thing was last week in the Times, talking about being, according to Professor Corbyn, it led to him saying, well, actually, he only went to a polytechnic in East London at which he failed to get his passness. So he ain't a professor. He's a failed product of the state education system. He'd never done a proper day's work in his life outside the public sector. and he had never created any jobs, even one job. This may be to appoint his own researcher of resistance. He's never done anything to strengthen the wealth of his country. So he should go back to the obscurity whence he came. Until he does, well, let's have a laugh, because I'm sure he'll provide it.
Finishing up, KB, the competition for the Radio Yorkshire Box 44 at Elland Road continues, and this time it's for the Leeds United Brighton game.
New one now. The loser of the draw
right
has a meeting with Mr. Corbyn. How about that? As an additional incentive to enter.
If people would like to enter that over the actual RY Box 44 draw, it's the VIP match day experience for our box at for Elland Road for the Brighton Hove Albion game, which is on the 17th of October. You get a 3-course meal, match day programme, padded match seating on the private balcony with drinks and halftime tea and biscuits. And you need to answer this question. In 2006, Dennis Wise brought Gus Poyet to Leeds United as his assistant manager. What club did Gus go to after his year-long spell with the Whites? Is it A, Brighton & Hove Albion, B, Tottenham Hotspur, or C, Sunderland? Text YORKS, that's Y-O-R-K-S, and your answer A, B, or C to 84383. Text are a pound, plus your standard message rate, and the entries close on the 11th of October 2015. Winners chosen shortly after that. All the T's and C's you can find at Radio Yorkshire. .co.uk. As ever, KB, always a pleasure, and we'll catch
Sharon,
up again.
Before you go,
yeah,
I know the answer.
Okay.
Can I enter under an assumed name?
You could do. We might spot it.
I think I might enter under the prey 2,900 miles away.
KB, lovely
Better
to chat.
Return jet flights are not included.
We'll chat again next week.
Thank you. Go well. Good luck.